confrontation. Before Jordan or anyone else could utter a word, Castiglione smiled cynically and said, "I hope you don't mind our entering your cottage through the back door. I thought we should visit you on Christmas Eve." "With guns leveled at us?" Jordan growled. Nick stared at the black man. "Walt, what are you doing here?"
Walt looked tense, strained. "We didn't expect you three to be here. Thought you'd be back in the village at the inn."
Castiglione nosed his pistol at Cree. "I presume you have a weapon?"
Looking thoroughly disgusted, Cree jabbed a thumb toward his jacket, resting on the back of a chair by the fireplace.
"In my coat."
"Fine. We'll leave it there."
Jordan asked, "How did you get past the police blockade?"
"One little car parked in the middle of the lane," Castiglione replied almost contemptuously.
"Our satellite imagery showed it clearly, plus the country lanes that wove around it. Your policeman was probably asleep. He neither saw nor heard us."
"So why are you here?"
Aditi asked, her voice brittle with tension.
Castiglione sighed dramatically.
"I'm afraid there's going to be a fire. This cottage is going to burn to the ground, with all of you in it."
He shook his head. "A great tragedy. The whole world will mourn your deaths."
"Walt!" Didi screeched. "You can't!"
"He can and he will," Castiglione snapped.
"He has no choice." Nick took a step toward Walt.
"Speak for yourself, man."
"Everybody dies," Walt said, barely above a whisper. "Sooner or later."
"In your case," said Castiglione, "it will be sooner. Within a few minutes."
"You can't expect to get away with this," Jordan said.
"With all the resources of the World Council behind me? Of course I will get away with it. Some faulty electrical connection in your tree's decorations will start a fire while you're asleep."
"You mean while we're unconscious?" said Jordan. Pointing at the guns, he asked, "Neural tranquilizers, aren't they?"
"Yes. You will be blissfully unconscious. There will be no pain, I assure you."
Cree took a step and moved in front of Jordan.
"You'll have to get past me first."
"No great trouble," said Castiglione, pointing his gun at Cree.
"And me,"
said Nick, stepping to Cree's side.
"What foolish bravado."
"Wait," Aditi called. "You're overlooking something."
Castiglione frowned.
Aditi said, "Everything that I see and hear is transmitted back to New Earth automatically. My people are watching and listening to you."
"You're bluffing."
But Castiglione's gun wavered ever so slightly. That was all that Cree needed. He slashed out with an edge-of-the-hand chop that knocked Castiglione's pistol skittering across the floor. Nick bellowed like a wild man and leaped at Walt, who fired at him point-blank. Walt's gun cracked loudly, and Nick's body spasmed even as he bowled into Walt. Jordan grabbed for the black man's gun, and all three of them tumbled to the floor. Didi picked up Castiglione's gun while Jordan and Walt struggled on the floor beside Nick's twitching body. The Italian stood frozen, wide-eyed, as Cree plucked the pistol from Didi's hand, then stepped over and kicked Walt solidly on the side of his head. Walt's eyes rolled up, and Jordan scrambled to his feet with the black man's gun in his hand. Rachel knelt beside Nick's body.
"He's dead," she sobbed.
"No," said Cree, his eyes on Castiglione.
"Just unconscious. He'll come around in a few minutes."
To Jordan, he asked, "What do you want to do with these two?"
Anger surging through him, Jordan snarled. "I'd like to toss them into the ocean with anvils tied to their ankles."
"Jordan,"
Aditi said calmly.
"Call the constable station," Jordan said through gritted teeth, "and tell them we've been attacked by a pair of would-be burglars." They didn't get to the dinner the innkeeper's cook had prepared for them until hours later. Once the police showed up at the cottage, they were all taken to the station house, where Castiglione loudly claimed diplomatic immunity.
"For armed burglary," the police sergeant practically spat at him. "Don't be daft."
Castiglione and Walt were locked into a cell. Nick, though still slightly woozy from the nerve jangler, broadcast a blow-by-blow description of the incident via the Otero network, and Cree asked his headquarters in Chicago for a beefed-up security team. It was nearly midnight when the six of them finally got to the inn, where the cook happily reheated the entire meal he had painstakingly prepared. The innkeeper joined them at the table and listened to their story with grave concern.
"Nothing like this has ever happened here in living memory," he marveled.
Jordan said, "I'm sorry we weren't able to get here on time."
"Better late than never," said the cook as he deposited a steaming tray of mince pie on their table.
From outside the inn came voices singing, "Silent Night, Holy Night."
"The church choir," said the innkeeper, "starting the midnight service."
Jordan looked around the table at Cree and Nick, Rachel, Dee Dee, and Aditi. "God bless us, everyone," he breathed. By the time Jordan and Aditi got back to the cottage, they were both tired and filled with Christmas dinner and wine. As he turned out the bedroom lights and slipped into bed next to her, Jordan asked, "Is what you told Castiglione really true? Are you sending everything you see and hear back to Audrey on New Earth?" In the darkness, he could hear the amusement in her voice.
"Almost everything."
"Ah, that's better," Jordan said as he reached for her.